So, are we on? And as we go to this next section on tongues and interpretation, the relationship, and in regard to speaking in tongues and various kinds of tongues, as we see that the first point that we covered is that there is an essence involved in speaking in tongues. And then the same essence is found when we interpret a tongue. There's an essence of what God is trying to say. And at first it feels new to you, but when you become more and more aware of it in the spirit world, you become able to interpret tongues. Now let's see what Paul is telling us about in the interpretation of tongues, because there are two different levels. One is at the church level and the other is at the personal level. And both times he requires us to learn how to interpret. And we see these scriptures in the Bible all the time, but sometimes we just pass them by. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he speaks about the personal level first. He says here that in verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, and even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now, verse 5 is talking about the church side, in the church. Now, who is he asking to interpret? Look very carefully. The person who spoke in tongues. Isn't that interesting? It's as if Paul demands that the person who speaks in tongues know how to interpret. He says, he who speaks with tongues, you know, he can do so, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, he refers back to the speaker in tongues. And the only way he could relate that is to understand that they both flow from what I call the essence. So then it becomes easier when we can experience. You see, sometimes the church is not taught that this can be, therefore we never receive. If we are not taught that it's there, we cannot receive. Like today, it looks so normal for people to fly on planes, to drive cars and all that. I mean, the first time those things are invented, it was not easy. Right? Flying looks impossible to the Wright brothers when they try. Right? No one will even dream of flying from one place to the other at all. But today it's just like, yeah, let's hop onto the plane and go ahead somewhere. No, it seems so easy. Because that knowledge of how to create and make planes, although only a few companies can do it because it's an expensive thing, is common. Everyone knows how you operate. And with enough money, technicians and infrastructure and industrialization, any country could make a plane. So it has become common knowledge. In the same way, spiritually, there are some things that should have become common knowledge that are not, because people are not taught. I mean, most people today know how to count, multiply, count percentages, and we know to divide, subtract, and all that. Do you know all the maths that we are learning today is unusual 1,000 years ago? But it has become what I call elementary knowledge to us. The same way in the computer revolution, right? The young people today need to know more things than we had to at their age. And in fact, you ask any maths professor and teacher, from the time a person learns how to add, subtract, right to the time they have to learn calculus, in 10 years of education, or 11 years of education, taking them from arithmetic to calculus, they have covered nearly 2,000 years of mathematics history. It took mankind that long to progress from counting to calculus. But in 10 years, or 11 years, we teach a child right through. So, knowledge needs to be there. So when we understand essence, this is what happens. When we know that he who speaks in tongues, let him pray that he may interpret. So what happens as we gain experience and we understand that it's the essence of what we are speaking, and we speak, Lukrana zikivar anasifiriyata. Lo and behold, the Lord your God, he is an almighty God who loves you and exalts himself in your midst. Rumakamahubadika liburubashikaramash la beritongwasa. He will liberate you and cause you to be free in the realm of the spirit, and he will cause all your chains to break off on your left and on your right. Rukuna avunizi livra avolika ajinka rama zenika laha nikar umazanti diantu zaarne in the hoshini Allah. He will bring you into the depths of salvation. He will open and dig wells deep enough so that you could swim in it, says the Lord. And he will cause you to drink of those rivers, and those rivers shall flow out of your spirit into the realms of the Almighty God. Now we could go on and on and on. And we get edified. No, we feel edified. Right? Now, there are some people with specialized ministries in this. I know of one whole book written out of tongues and interpretation. Published in India. And there was this little lady in her house. And all she does is she speaks in tongues. And then she interprets. And there was someone writing it all down. And the books end up one of the most beautiful conversations between God and His people. In the secular world, you sometimes have these demon spirits, and like Seth speaks, right? Those books of people who claim contact with spirits and all that, and they write, this is what Seth says. A lot of it is unscriptural, unbiblical. Now, you have the Christian full version of that, where God is speaking. And that goes on and on. That can be done in the church. And we need to interpret. When you understand its essence, it doesn't matter whether how long or how short. Now remember in the book of Daniel, the handwriting on the wall. And the handwriting says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ufasin. Or as we learn in Hebrew, it means Peres, right? And Peres. And which means and divide. The English somehow translate Euphasin. Now, many, many tekel Euphasin. Four little words. You know how long Daniel took to interpret this? See, it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. And the passage that we are taking it from is the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verse 25. This is an inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Euphasin. Euphasin should be on Paris. And this is what Daniel interprets, verse 26. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. I mean, where do I find the Persians here in the word Peres? And that's it. And you say, my God, how did he find so many sentences in four little words? Now, it's an interpretation, not a translation. You know what translation is? Translation of this? What I think it should be? It would be divide, divide, weight, and wait. Paris is also divide, right? Right. Let me see, this is number, correct, not divide. It should be number. Numbered, weight, divided. If I were to do a translation, it would be, and let's say you're Daniel, and Belshazzar asks you, interpret Daniel. Daniel looked at it and said, and misunderstood interpret to be translate. Oh, it just said, numbered, weight, divided. Good night, God bless you, and go off. He didn't interpret, he translated. To interpret is to apply. Correct. When you interpret something, you're applying it into something else. So there's an application. Daniel could sense that God was judging the Babylonian Empire. And he knew that God had numbered them. Their days are numbered. So Daniel says, this is repeated twice. Your days are numbered. In fact, that very night they were conquered. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scale. You fasten. You have been divided. And then from his own revelation, which he adds to it, to the Medes and the Persians. Medes and Persians are not found in this word at all, my friend. Now, here's where interpretation of tongues is like. Sometimes you could have 5 minutes of tongues and just 15 seconds of interpretation. Sometimes you could have 5 seconds of tongues and 10 minutes of interpretation. It is interpretation, not a translation. And that's a Bible example that we have used in that sense of what we call the essence of what God is saying to His people. So there is a public interpretation. And let's look back at 1 Corinthians 14. There's a public interpretation. Let him who speaks pray that he may interpret. Now, why pray that he may interpret? Because we expect that everyone who operates any of the nine gifts of the Spirit are experienced to operate in the church. There's training ground, places to train, you know, in small groups, etc. But in the church, you're supposed to be expert. Just as you can prophesy. When you function in the gifts of healings, right, you're not going to be uncertain, you know, about it. You've got to be sure what you're doing. And the things of God, lay hands on the sick. Right. And so you cannot go to the demon and say, would you come out? Right? No, he wouldn't be doing that. Right. And so you got to know your authority in God to function in some of these power gifts. The same way that is required of those people, just like you want to prophesy. Okay. You're going to prophesy with the word of wisdom in people's life. So, and you say, I think this is going to happen to you. It may be, may not be. But it may be this way that God is saying to you. And yes, maybe it's like that. What kind of prophecy is that? There's no prophecy. That's just playing guessing game in my life. A prophecy is something that comes forth and says, no, oh, you're going to meet this very person in this very time, 5 years down the road, this is what's going to happen. That's a very specific prophecy. Something that is a bit more generalized, but there is a definiteness inside it. And we expect every of the gifts to be that way. How about this area? Thank you. Excuse me. Tongues and interpretation are in the same manner. That those who have that gift, let them function well. Understand it well and grow in it well, the essence of the gifts. So there is a public interpretation. And Paul did say, you know, after two or three, let there be interpretation. Right? You can take it in a different way, that after every two or three, you get someone to interpret, so it doesn't go on. It doesn't necessarily mean a limitation of how many tongues and interpretation there are in a meeting. And in chapter 14, you come to the personalized one. And it says here in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, this is the personal one. Why? Because sometimes when you pray for your interpretation, what is the purpose? Is to educate your mind. And that's what Paul says. I will pray in the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding. And I will sing with the Spirit. when I was seeing with the understanding. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, that's okay, but my mind is not edified. And what's important in the Christian life is to renew the mind and renew the spirit. Right. See, in the Christian life, there are these three areas. Your will, your intellect, and your emotions. These are the three parts of your soul that need to be yielded to God. We understand what it is to yield our will to God by choosing God's way and not our way. By humbling ourselves before God. But how do we yield our mind? By teaching the mind spiritual truths, so that the mind thinks in line with the Word of God. How do we renew the emotions? By having it feel the fruit of the Spirit. Then we are truly renewed in our soul. And so Paul says, when you pray in the Spirit, that's fine. But your mind still needs renewal. Therefore, let him who prays, prays with the understanding. And sometimes, all you have is just an essence of the interpretation. And for you who are interceding a lot, sometimes when you pray, you have a faint idea who you're praying for. That is an interpretation that you're having in your spirit. Sometimes you even know what you're praying about. Not always. Now, as I say, sometimes God keeps things hidden from us. Your spirit will always know more than your mind. Because our mind is lower than our spirit. That is why we have expressions in our Christian walk like this. I know in my spirit this is wrong, but I don't understand it. But in time, I will understand it. So what are we saying here? That the spirit sends it faster than the mind. It takes our mind sometimes a bit of Bible study analysis before our mind comes to the same conclusion as our spirit. But how do we live our Christian life? We live it based on our conscience and our spirit man. We don't just live it based on our mind. However, our mind plays an important part because it's a confirming factor in our life. And our mind is renewed by the Word of God. So that's an important factor in our Christian life to bring our mind in line. And because you cannot go through your whole life telling people what is wrong and right without explaining why it is wrong and right. If you live that way, you can only live for yourself. But if you could sense what is right and wrong, and you could show from God's word why it is right and wrong, you're not just living for yourself, you're helping others to live in that realm too. And so, when our mind understands right and wrong, we become fruitful. We can lead others, help others into the same dimension, which is exactly what Paul is saying. Let him who prays in tongue, speaks in tongue, pray that he may interpret. That is what I call the private prayer to interpret. So, interpretation flows like speaking in tongues in an essence to us, to our lives. And when having a look at the essence, then we look at what I call the area of finding words to describe the things in the spirit. There's the essence, and then there's what I call the area of the word. Now, the word is external to you. It forms a balancing act. Otherwise, we become so introspective that we can be introspectively wrong. People can be fully convinced that they are right, and in the Bible, it's still wrong. There are a lot of homosexuals out there, a lot of people who live the wrong lifestyle, and society has accepted them, but the Bible still says it's wrong. We don't hate these people. We have to pray for them. But the Bible still says it's wrong. They can be out there and say, but it feels right. But the Bible still says it's wrong. So you need something on the outside that you can relay back as a check factor. And that is the written Word of God. Where, whether you feel like it or not, thou still shall not kill. Whether you feel like it or not, thou shall not steal. All these commandments of God are still there, whether we like it or not. The world likes to compromise. The world always use sentences like, you know, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Let me tell you, you know, it still can be wrong if it feels so right. Because there are a lot of things that feel so right, but in the long run, you know, it shows that it's wrong. Like, for example, taking of drugs. Oh yeah, it feels so good. But look at what it does to the body. Physically, it's destroying the body. Secondly, it destroys relationship because you're so into yourself and your pleasure, you got no time to relate to your loved ones, your family, your children, and everything else. The most important thing, person in your life becomes you. Not your loved ones, not your children who are neglected because you take all, you're not feeding them, you're not taking care of your spouse. And it destroys society. A society with 100% where everyone is a drug addict ceases to function. Because everyone is onto themselves. So it does destroy. So yeah, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Yeah, it may give you a high now, but what is wrong is still wrong. And if wrong and evil doesn't feel good and doesn't have any pleasure effects, although they are temporary, there will be no temptation. I repeat. Temptation is there because it feels good temporarily and it has pleasure temporarily. So the fact of whether it feels good or not doesn't rely on whether it is pleasurable or not. So the word is a stabilizing factor. Because without the word, we cannot check on our own feelings. So your own feelings can say it is right, but God's word says it's wrong. What does it say to you? Your feelings need tuning. There's a tuning that is required. I mean, all weighing machines and everything need tuning once in a while to get the right weight. Because the spring, you know, begins to lose its elasticity. And you got to retune so that 1 gram is 1 gram. Not one end less or more. And so it needs tuning. Everything needs tuning once in a while. It goes out of phase. How do you tune? There has to be a standard measurement. The same with a guitar. Right, as you play the guitar, you may tune all the guitar to the right tune. As you play over several weeks, the C, it could drop off to a more flat C. And then, when you play, you still can sing, but it's not exactly C now. If all the strings lose their tone equally, and you play, it's still in harmony. But instead of C, you actually are singing a C flat. So it needs to retune. Every musical instrument needs to retune after playing. In the same way in the spirit world, all our sensations need to retune with God's word. And we got to reflect, which is why the abundance of God's word is important to the Christian life. Because it tunes our inside. And then once it tunes your inside, you become independent, you can play a song that is in tune. And so these two are important factors. And in the realm of operations, and how it occurs in this area. When it comes to the essence or the word, as we say, it can be, and sometimes, just an overwhelming presence of God. Whenever God starts to move, there is always His presence, because we're talking about God moving. There's a sense of His presence that we learn to recognize. Before and after. And then you know you're in the right flow. There is also sometimes where an interpretation can come in a feeling or sensation. And not necessarily in the exact word, W-O-R-D. At other times, it can come in just one word. One word. And when you have that one word correct, when you have that one word correct, it opens the door for other words. to flow along. Like for example, when we did an experiment on the tongue interpretation, some of you sense, you know, I love you. Some of you say, I love you with everlasting love. Some of you sense entreaty and a plea in God. And here's an interesting thing when you look at interpretation. We hear according to our ability to hear. Let me describe that. You know how sometimes when you read the Bible, the areas that you pick up in the Bible are those areas relevant to you. You could read the book of Ephesians 1,000 times. You could read it as a child and you get something out of it. You read it as a teenager, you get something out of it that you never got before. You read it as an adult, you get something different out of it. What's happening? Are those things there? Yes, they were there all the time. But you can't see, feel it, touch it because you had no need of it. So, what you receive was part of what you were able to gather at that time. Able to see. Like for example, if you ask a child who does not know the business world to look at the Bible and read the Bible, they could pick a few business principles. But you ask an experienced businessman who has been 30 years in the business, who has known all kinds of things, and they look at the Bible at different Bible principles, they will find business principles in almost every chapter of the Bible that they could apply. Why? Because they have a wider area to receive. And that's the phenomena that is important when it comes to interpretation of tongues, that even though we hear the same language in tongues, there is a resonance that comes deeper than others. So that each one of us can read one chapter of Bible. Let's say John 17. Some of us who are conscious of the divisiveness of the church sense the plea for unity and the prayer for unity stronger than others. Others who are more conscious of the need to love could sense love coming out stronger. But the Bible is still the Bible, chapter 17, you see chapter 17 of John. But according to our needs, we were able to perceive. That's why tongues and interpretation can be sometimes quite personalized. And that is also why sometimes you've got to be obedient to God, because what you're saying may make no sense to you, but make 1,000% sense to someone who's hearing at that time. So that's the realm of tongues and interpretation. Praise God. Let's pray.